It's so frustrating. Recently, I've had family and friends tell me, like, get a real job. You know, why are you trying to raise $80,000 and doing ministry work? Like, you should get out and do worldly work, like St. Paul did. St. Paul was a tent maker. So I've got four things I'm going to address in this video. First is, spiritual work is real work. Two, where does spiritual power come from? Three, why is the family so important? And then lastly, how is it even possible to raise the $80,000 that's needed over the next 3 weeks? How is that even possible? So first of all, spiritual work. How is spiritual work real work? When people say, even well-intentioned family and friends are saying, like, get a real job, spiritual work, like I said, ministry is a real job, and it's real hard. Quite frankly, it was a lot easier, though worldly work is not easy, but it was easier than spiritual work because the results were very measurable. And what is worldly work? That is what most of us are called to, and we're all called to spiritual work as well. But with worldly work, it's very measurable, and we're tending to the physical needs of people. And so that's going to be like housing and transportation, healthcare, education, any of those things. It's going to serve the physical needs of people, the emotional needs of people, and it's going to serve the intellectual needs of people, like through education. And all of those are really critical, and they're important. And what's the fruit of those? Is like we put people in houses, we cover them, we take care of their lodging, we put good food on the table, we make cars that are safe. We have, if you're a police officer, you help to make a community be secure. If you're in the military, you're helping to secure borders and to bring for there to be able to be peace. Those are all excellent and very necessary jobs that have to be done. But the biggest problem in all of those jobs, the biggest problems that people have to deal with, are actually spiritual. They're spiritual problems. That's where all the big problems come from. For instance, for a number of years, I've dealt with rental real estate, and the problems that I have aren't just the practicalities of putting a house in a good, fixing it up nicely and renting it out and finding good tenants. The difficulty is actually in finding good tenants. It's the difficulty is having people follow through with their word and tell the truth and take care of the property. There is so much money lost and wasted when people lie, cheat, and steal. I mean, that's what we're dealing with. And if you look at the big picture when it comes to being in the military or a police officer, what are they dealing with? Theft and murder, like those are the things, and those, the root cause of those are all spiritual. And if you look back and say, okay, like, why ministry? It's because we're trying to get back to the spiritual roots of things. Because in the beginning, if you go back into the garden, there was the big lie that Satan told. The lie that he told, his deception was that you're going to find happiness through disobeying God, through power and possession and pleasure, through the three P's. And those three P's, they won't satisfy you. You have an infinite hole in your heart that can only be filled with the infinite, who is God. And God, since God is infinite, he can fill your heart. And the fruit of chasing after power, possession, and pleasure is the capital sins, the seven capital sins. And if you look at, for instance, just two of them, greed. How many problems do I deal with right now that have to deal with that are the root cause of them is greed. People who charge too much, people who put food on the table with false advertising, and they said, oh, it'll have these ingredients, when they put fake ingredients in there that got people sick. Or they cut corners, and they cut corners to the point where it made food unhealthy. Or if you look at lust. One of the most hits on the internet are to pornographic websites. And so that's a multi-trillion-dollar industry. Why? It's because people are trying to find their satisfaction from pleasure, and pleasure will never totally satisfy you. It'll give you moments of relief, but it will never, never satisfy. So is ministry work real work? Yes. And it's the most important work because it's solving the biggest problems, which are all spiritual problems. So number one, I want to cover spiritual work is real work. Two, where does spiritual power come from? Spiritual power comes from God. And how does God give spiritual power? He gives it through grace. And grace is God's gift of healing, of power, of strength, of peace. And so that all comes from God's from grace. That comes from God's gift to us. And what the Catholic Church teaches, the main three areas that we grow in grace, that we receive grace, one is through sacraments, two is through prayer, and then three is through good works. And so if you look at good works, like what are good works? Works that are done with virtue, where you're actually looking to love other people and to help them become who God has created them to be, where you're trying to assert other people's dignity and to serve them well. And so Those three areas, under good works, another area is learning who God is like a good work is reading your Bible and studying the truths of the faith to realize like, who is God? Who am I? What am I made for? And there's one more really powerful thing when you think about grace and how powerful purity is that purity and innocence are extremely powerful for bringing grace into the world. And you can look at like, well, where do you get that? Well, we get that from the cross. Jesus was the innocent Lamb of God who was crucified in order to pour innumerable graces upon humanity. That saved humanity. And the power of innocence, the power of purity is so enormous that if you want to look at, well, who's fighting against that? Satan. Satan knows this as well. Satan attacks. And what's Satan's sacrament? Satan's sacrament is abortion. He wants innocence killed. He wants souls murdered. And that happens through abortion. Satan is going to encourage pornography. Why? Because pornography brings about lack of chastity. Lack of chastity makes all hell break loose on earth. And so that's where Satan is attacking. And if you look at children, it's like he's going after children. Hitler, what did Hitler do? The Hitler Youth is if you can get the youth of a society, you can control society. You can, and again, power is not going to satisfy you, but Hitler thought that it was going to satisfy him. Communism, what's communism? What do they try to do is get into the schools, because if you can get the children off track early and get them focused on the wrong things, power, possession, and pleasure, then you can control them and have as much power, possession, and pleasure as you want. Another example, Planned Parenthood, one of the things that they did, people say, oh, they're really good. They're trying to help people with unplanned pregnancies. Well, the reality is they're a huge multi-million dollar moneymaker, and they study what's it take to get abortions. And what they found is that they can get more abortions out of schools that they go into, starting in second grade, first grade, and they can go in there and become the experts. They're the ones who are teaching. They ask this question. It's very diabolical. They say, well, what do you call your private parts? And the kids say all these, they have all the different words that they use. And the Planned Parenthood person says, oh, no, let me give you that's not correct. You know, here's the correct term. And the kids say, oh, now they're learning this is what the correct term is. And it's not wrong to use the correct term. But my point is that they're displacing parents as the authority and the influence in the household. And what they found is that when they get into schools and they teach kids early anatomically correct terminology, and they become their friends and they share things with them that their parents hadn't taught them. But by the time these kids reach sixth grade, seventh grade, and into high school, they get double, triple the amount of abortions out of those schools compared to the ones that they don't go into and work on. So again, reaching the youth is exactly, it's satanic. That's exactly where they want to go because Satan preys on innocence. He preys on purity because God is innocent, God is pure, and he wants to rip apart anything that looks like God in the world. And that's any of us who are seeking God and seeking to love. So what's powerful? Again, grace is powerful, and it comes from sacraments. It comes from loving God. It comes from prayer, and it comes from good works done virtuously. Third thing, why is the family so important? Because the family is absolutely the most important place where this stuff gets learned. Every family passes on the faith. It's either going to be a faith in love, that love will satisfy your heart, loving God and loving your neighbor, or it's a faith in loving yourself in a disordered way, and that power, possession, and pleasure are going to satisfy your heart. So the faith is always passed on in the family. And so where do good doctors come from? Where do good workers come from? Where do good teachers come from? They come from the family. Where do bad workers come from? Where do bad teachers come from? Where do bad politicians come from? They come from the family. So the family is the nexus. The family is the point where good and bad, either the good either takes root or gets rooted out. Family is critical. It's key. So if we know, and John Paul II said, as the family goes, so goes the nation, so goes the world in which we live. He didn't say as the economy goes, as education goes. He said as the family goes. So the family is key. And then why? Why is it so key when kids are young? Because there's an expression, as the twig is bent, so grows the branch. If you can get kids pointed and parents pointed in the right direction, especially kids early on, then they're going to tend to stay in that direction for their lifetime. They're going to know what is right. They're going to have experience joy and peace. They'll know what spiritual joy is. So you need to get them early. And if early on kids learn about truth and they learn about love and they learn about selflessness, it's a lot easier for them to hold on to that for their whole lifetime. And some people say, well, why are you doing ministry with families? And again, I answer that question, why that's really important. They'll say, let's be real. That's not going to have an effect for another 20 years. That's true. It will have an effect in 20 years, but it will have an effect right now because If you look at an individual act of seeking to love God in a pure way, that what act is the most innocent, most pure ever that's happened in the history of humanity? The crucifixion. One act at one moment of time poured out graces to save all of humanity. And God is teaching us through that, that for us, we had to participate in that. Every act of love and of self-sacrifice that we do in this moment pours out to all of humanity. So it does make a difference right now. And there's a scripture verse in Psalm 8 that says, God finds praise on the lips of children to confound his enemies. So that when children, pure innocent children, like Jesus was pure and innocent on the cross, pure innocent children are loving God and doing what God has asked him to do, that is actually pouring out grace right now that's impacting the whole world. And there's an example I learned about, and I thought, gosh, this is tremendous, and it's a good analogy for how important it is to do the right thing every moment of our life. Like, ask God, please help me to do that. Back in September of 1986, I was in my junior year of high school. There was something called the great nuclear false alarm. What happened? There was almost worldwide nuclear war. There was a man by the name of Stanislav Petrov, and he was a Russian. And he was a military man, he was manning his station, and he had seen what looked like, according to the computer system, that the United States had launched a nuclear intercontinental ballistic missile at Russia. And so he was supposed to, when he saw that, send that information up the line, but he thought for a moment, was like, wow, why would the United States actually launch nuclear war and only launch one? And so he said, this got to be a false alarm. So he didn't report it. He told all the people who were staring at him, no, we're not going to pass this on. And then five minutes later, there were four intercontinental ballistic missiles that were coming towards him. At least that's what the computer said. And he thought about it some more, and he's like, this can't be. If the United States, right now we have a policy of mutual annihilation. And if they're going to try to attack us, there's no way that they're only going to send four nuclear bombs. They're going to send their whole arsenal against us. So it's like, I don't believe that this is actually United States attacking us. And so he didn't call it up the chain. And a few minutes later, all those lights disappeared. There weren't any nuclear bombs coming at Russia. And so he hadn't passed it up the line. And they've said that if he had, that would have been it. The Russians would have returned with all out nuclear war. There's one man who believed that, wait a second, I don't think it can be this way. There was a moment of grace that changed the course of history. Look it up, 1986. And so you got to know that this isn't just, so that's in the natural order. In the spiritual order, this happens all the time. Every act of love that you do is reaching out and impacting the whole of humanity. There's an axiom in the spiritual life that the church puts forward. Every soul that rises above itself raises the world. That means you. That means me. That means all of us. And especially the more that we can love in an innocent way and that we can act virtuously and teach our children to, that impacts, again, the whole of humanity right now. So why is the family so important? That's the point I'm coming back to, is because learning to do it and doing it impacts learning to love, learning to act in a pure and innocent way, to act virtuously, impacts the whole world in 20 years, and it impacts the whole world right now. And boy, do we need it. So why are you making family conquest free? Shouldn't the families who use it pay for it? Sure, they should pay for it. However, in order to reach the maximum number of people, if we make it free, we don't have to have a conversation about money. We can just share with them this great tool that helps them to connect with God and to connect with each other before it's too late. Because there's a short window that parents have to actually love their children and convince their children of their love, and also to convince their children of God's love and to get to know who God is and who they are. And so it's a critical time, and we make it free for one, for a greater reach. A second reason we make it free is that families, their budgets are stretched more than anyone's. And so for the families who can't pitch in and do more, great. But if we make it a nonprofit free will donation, then people can give, you know, across the board to cover it so that we can reach, again, more people. And some people will say, well, again, if the families are the ones who benefit from it, shouldn't they be the ones who pay for it? We actually all benefit. All of society benefits when families are seeking God and they're training their children to find their happiness and their satisfaction in loving God and loving their neighbor. We all benefit from that. So if we all benefit, then we can all chip in. Fourth, what's the last thing I want to cover is that we need to raise $80,000 over the next 3 weeks between now and May the 20th. How are we ever going to be able to raise $80,000? We don't actually have to have the full $80,000 in hand. We just have to have a commitment for $80,000. And a friend of mine sent me an email, and he said, Michael, what you're doing is so important. He's like, just tell people, if we just get 100 people to give $800, there's $80,000. And I thought, well, yes, that's the case. $800 is still a lot. However, $16.50, that's not a lot. Let me explain. If there was a fire, a wildfire that was coming towards your community, coming towards your city, coming towards your neighborhood, and the firemen were coming to the neighborhood and saying, like, we need more gas to get out there, and we're tired and hungry, would you chip in $16.50 so we can get a cup of coffee and that we can have enough gas to get over to fight the fire to keep it away from you? You know, who wouldn't say, yeah, I've got that? If you gave $16.50 a week, for a month, $16.50 times 4 is $66. $66 times 12 months is $800. And so if people would be willing to just say, you know what, in society right now, there is a wildfire, and it is coming and consuming us, and it's consuming us already. My budget's already being consumed by the crazy prices. I'm getting frustrated over and over by things that are breaking, that are being cheaply made. We're not living in a virtuous society right now, and so we're all paying. So how can we raise $80,000? It's going to happen through people saying, you know what, I'm willing to make that kind of a commitment. I'm willing to say, yeah, I will chip in $16.50 a week. I'll do $66 a month. And if we get 100 people to do that, that will be, and again, it doesn't have to be, it can be raised over time. It can be a pledge. You know, how can you do that? If you look at the links below this video, there's a link to Family Conquest. You can learn more about the ministry. There is a link to the fundraiser. And if you click on the link to the fundraiser, you can donate by credit card. You can donate by check. There's also, if you just want to pledge and say, I want to get a hold of you, Michael, my email address, my phone number is in the link below. So, and last thing is share this fundraiser with other people. Because again, the family is so crucial. We either sacrifice now or we're going to sacrifice later. We're being sacrificed right now because families have not followed what God has called them to do. And this ministry is helping families to be able to start focusing in on God's plan. Because when God gave the great commandment, you shall love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, that isn't just a commandment, this is a good thing to do so that God can be on an ego trip. That actually satisfies our hearts, and we actually get to enjoy life far more because as we're loving God and loving other people, that's what we're made for. That's what actually satisfies us. So we either sacrifice now and put money into a spiritual ministry that's going to help families become who God has called us to be, or the money's going to be blown anyways because it's going to go out in society from the worldly, from all the worldly difficulties that we're facing right now because people aren't living in a virtuous way. So number one, spiritual work is real work. Number two, spiritual power comes from the sacraments. It comes from prayer. It comes from good works. Number three is the family is critical. Number four is we can raise $80,000 if people are willing to invest and say, you know what, it's worth it to support the family because as the family goes, so goes the nation and so goes the world in which we live. Join us in this fight to save the family, which has an impact on all of society.